Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the Bloody Mary game didn't seem to work that night. Years later, he's still wondering if something did answer. You know, just not in the exact same way.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we would love to hear them. Or you can write in on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. And hey, you can tell us your ghost story on YouTube now. So on our channel, YouTube, just search Real Ghost Stories Online. You will find us there. And in the comments section, go ahead, drop your ghost story. We may use it here on the program. So feel free to there. And give us your thoughts on the ghost stories that we're talking about here on YouTube as well. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program.
Well, and, speaking of comments.
Yeah.
Because you just went on your honeymoon.
Yes.
And you went up to Mackinac Island.
Yes.
And had a wonderful honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody sent in a comment. And I love these so much because they're like two-sentence ghost stories. Maybe yeah. Three sentences. But here is the comment. It says, when I was 11 years old, my mom took us kids to Mackinac Island. We were walking around eating chocolate fudge from one of those candy shops. I was looking at the scenery of the island. I saw a ghost of a soldier in an old-fashioned uniform. While taking a bite of fudge, I waved at the person in quotes. Then he disappeared. I was like, I saw a ghost. That's the story. And actually, I kind of love that very much because it's an entire ghost story, just a really mm-hmm. short one.
And I mean, and could it have been? Yes.
Could it have been? Mackinac Island is very haunted.
Could it have been someone in costume that works over at the...
But he disappeared.
Okay, that's true. Well, sometimes people got that ability on the island. They got some crazy technology. No, that would be weird.
Eating fudge, you made a mess. You looked at your hand, looked back up, he was gone.
Gone, yeah.
Maybe he turned a corner.
Maybe the fudge was laced with something, you know? You know,
Zozo
Murdoch's fudge, you know, because there's 50 Murdoch of the Murdoch family up there. Murdoch's fudge, not to be confused with Alec Murtaugh. In fact,
that's where my brain actually went.
Yeah. But the Murdoch's fudge. But there's like this Murdoch's fudge, that Murdoch's fudge, Murdoch's fudge of the original recipe fudge. And so you have a demonic one, Zozo Murdoch's fudge. And it's laced with the souls of the damned. And when you have it, then you see the dead people for a short period of time.
Might be worth just having a little bit.
It's just mushrooms that are in there, but we tell everybody it's souls of the damned. And they're like, I'm going to see souls of the damned. Yeah.
It's like kind of a little like pot brownies.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just mushroom fudge.
Yeah. Mushroom fudge.
Give it to the kids. They'll love it.
You see, it's the souls of the damned that are coming up. The joke on the island is, I mean, you have far better odds if you have a plot of land and you're going to dig on it and put a structure, you have far better odds of hitting a body than not when you're digging. Because before it became a tourist attraction in the early 1900s, it was there was a bit of shipping that would go on there, but for the most part, it's where the Native Americans buried their dead forever. So it's a huge graveyard. The entire island is a graveyard. And that's why people, you know, think it's haunted. And it's a cool place. It's got such a weird, neat funky vibe. It's cool. And especially if you can get out of the, everybody thinks of it with the big tourist lane there with all the shops and all that. And that's fun. But if you can get off of that, and get up, either do like a bike ride around the outside or go up further into the island where it's more private, but the roads you can access or take a carriage ride up there. It's a very different feel to the rest of it. We stayed at a place called the Inn at Stonecliff, up there, and it's off by itself. And, it's a lot quieter. It's a totally different feel to the island. It's neat. It's peaceful. It's serene, but there's something about the place. It's neat. I love it.
Didn't it also have a fort on it at one time?
It's on there. Yeah. Fort Mackinac is there. You can
tour it. And it's still there, right?
Yeah. And it's supposedly haunted as well.
So seeing a ghost of a soldier wouldn't be that uncommon, actually.
There's ghost stories connected with the fort too. They have their own tales and such.
I want to go there sometime.
It's wonderful.
There several times.
I started going there in about 1993 or 1992. It was like a car vacation because we didn't have any money, and it was we took the Badger, one of the last coal-powered steamships. I think it is like the last one on the Great Lakes. And it's a car ferry, but it looks like an old ship, and cars get on there, and there's like two decks that the public can hang out on. And it's like a 3-hour kind of slow, 3-4 hour trip across Lake Michigan. And drove up there and saw it all. And I fell in love with it back then. I just thought it was such a cool, beautiful area. There's really not a lot of other places like it. And then I eventually did radio up there and could not handle winter because it's very, very brutal. Summer is beautiful. Winter is brutal. It's beautiful in winter, too, but it is brutal with lake effect snow, like 3 to 6 inches every day. Having to like battle snow plows trying to get into the radio station, which, by the way, a Taco Bell now sits where the radio station was.
It was a prime piece of property.
I felt like Back to the Future, like, holy shit, what happened here? There's a Taco Bell and a Meijer, and I just couldn't do the winters. So I couldn't do it, but I've always loved it. It was a wonderful trip to go up there and see it. And we were actually talking a little bit about, like, you know, could we live up here? Cause she loved it too. I said, you know, winters are horrific. But if I didn't have to leave my house, which I don't leave my house as it is, I think I could probably handle it. It was the getting to and from anywhere that I hated. But I know how to drive on snow. I could make it to the grocery store and not feel like it's horrible. And I wouldn't have to be doing it at 4 a.m. when the roads aren't plowed. That's what made it so hellish.
Could you do like a summer home there?
we talked about that idea too. Yeah,
because that's kind of like where you live right now is beautiful.
Yeah,
that'd be perfect. We get winters here, but
I love it here. We're here until at least until the kids graduate, which is still, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind having more. I love it here though. I mean, I don't know that I would ever not have this as like home base. But I don't know. I mean, with the world of Airbnbs and stuff now, like sometimes you're better off just like renting a place for a month or something than buying it. Unless you want to keep up. And I'm just not I don't like having to do that, keeping up with the stuff and property management.
And
that's not my thing.
Hard to like set up all the equipment in a new place for a month just to tear it all down and that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was more like an idea of like, I could certainly handle living up there. I just don't know. Get a shower in winter.
I couldn't do
there might winter. Be a second. There might be another opinion on the, but
like, I love Chicago so much. Yeah. I go there every year. But the winters are brutal, And the summers can get so hot and humid.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't think I'd ever move there. No, actually, if I won the lottery, I would buy a house in Wrigleyville and I'd get me some season tickets to the Cubs games. Yeah. And I would do that. That would be how I would spend my lottery winnings.
Don't be a bad life.
No.
Not
and
at
then
all.
When I head back home, I can just rent my place, Airbnb it, and somebody else can stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be a great money-making opportunity as well.
Well, there you go. There's your plan.
Okay.
Life is figured out now.
Unless I got a raise. Sorry, that just made me laugh. Well, that would be the biggest raise of all time. Like, here, it's like $200,000 more a year for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made myself laugh with that. Like a raise is going to cover that idea. Okay.
Give you enough to buy a steak in the Cubs. And, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank
you. Yeah, why not? That sounds doable.
Yeah,
let's go to a ghost story call at 855-853-4802. Hi.
My name's Justin. I'm from Iowa. I got a pretty scary story, I'd say. I'm just going to get right into it. When I was younger, probably around 11, 12 years old, me and my friends heard about the Bloody Mary experience, where you would stand in the bathroom, say her name three times, and supposedly she was supposed to show herself. But we did that and nothing happened. Well, until later on in the year when I started having reoccurring night terrors, is what I call them. The first one I remember, I was asleep on the couch and in my dream, I woke up and felt like I was awake. However, I was still dreaming, but I woke up same place I fell asleep on the couch. I noticed that the Christmas tree that was in the dining area started smoking. And I got worried, nervous that a fire was about to happen. And I leaned up and out of the smoke came a woman covered in blood, dried blood, what it looked like, and wearing a long gray dress, her face unrecognizable. And she stared at me for a little while. And then she slowly walked her way towards me. This whole time, I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move. And as she got closer, the terror built up to the point to where, in real time, where I wasn't dreaming, I was screaming in my sleep loud enough to wake my parents up. And they woke me up. As the woman got inches from my face, my parents woke me up. I went and slept in their bed that night. But this night terror seems to happen to me ever since then, at least one or two times a year, and it's always the same. It's always me waking up in my dream, wherever I fell asleep at, smoke coming from a doorway or a closet or anywhere that I can't see behind. And then the woman coming out of the smoke and getting closer and closer to my face until she gets to my face, and that's when I wake up every time, whether it's somebody waking me up or me waking up on my own. But I scream loud in my sleep, apparently, from what I've been told. And after that, I can't go back to sleep for the rest of the night. But it's been different now. I just moved into a new house. There's been shadows and unexplained things going on at our house. And earlier this year, I had the same experience. It felt like the normal night terror, but instead of a woman, it was a man. And he just stood there in the doorway, stared at me. And I woke up on my own free will, felt a little bright, but not like normal, until I noticed my dog, which is a little Boston Terrier that sleeps at the end of the bed, was staring at the doorway where the man was standing, and he was growling. His ears were up. The hackles were going. He was growling. So I said his name. I said, "Beam." No response. I said, "Beams again." And he turned around, looked like he snapped out of some kind of trance, and threw up all over the bed. And I mean, it's really unexplainable. I don't know whether it's nightmares or sleep paralysis. I'm trying to get some advice on what that is. But also, I got a picture recently. I took a couple of photos of the room and was trying to capture one of the shadows when I did capture a shadow standing at the end of my bed. But yeah, I just wanted to call in and let you know what was going on and see if anyone out there had any advice for me or had any idea of what this was.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
I don't like it. But does it go back to them playing Bloody Mary? Or did he just kind of open himself to something? Or is it all sleep paralysis? The weird thing I think about it being sleep paralysis is it's the same thing all the time. Like he's seeing the smoke and then the lady walks in, till recently the man, but even his dog staring at the door and then his dog throws up. Coincidence, maybe, but the whole thing is just really strange that after he does that, then things start happening to him.
Yeah.
So did the whole thing of Bloody Mary actually work?
Did it or did it not? I think that's the question.
Is he having, you know, basic sleep paralysis things? Should he be changing the way he sleeps? You know, they say maybe he sleeps on his back all the time because I heard...
Yeah.
If you sleep on your back all the time, that's when sleep paralysis happens. And it has with me. I've always been on my back.
It's also the easiest way to inhale demons. If they're floating over you in the night and you're like on your back.
And you're like, demon.
You can accidentally inhale a demon. You don't want to do that. Yeah. You gotta be careful. Holy shit. That's like, whoa. Don't do it. Yeah.
You know, I never even thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit, I just inhaled a demon.
There's dangers to this stuff.
I just think with that poor guy, I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, demons! Oh! Demons!
I just saw the demons.
Oh. Oh, my God. Did you see those demons? Oh, my God.
Coming right. They came out of your mouth.
Speaking of demons and Bloody Mary, if you're watching us on YouTube, there's a big advantage because you get to see some of this crazy stuff that we're creating, including this next commercial. Bloody Mary, their kids, you know, they had their kind of at home versions of it where you play. But for a period of time on the market, there was a Bloody Mary at home game, just like how you can get the Ouija board, from, I think, Milton Parker Brothers, Milton Brad, one of them makes it. I don't remember who. This was another fine game of Bloody Mary. You probably don't remember this commercial, but let's take a look.
This is so, so lame.
Tired of the same old party games that just sit there? Introducing the all-new Bloody Mary Complete Demon Party Kit. The only game that lets you and your friends truly conjure real demons right in your own home.
Bloody Mary! Bloody Mary!
We did it!
Your brand new demon pals help with chores.
Now she can't ground us anymore!
Homework! Those people who just won't leave you alone. It's hours of demonic fun the whole family will never forget. It's the most fun you can have without adult supervision.
Best party ever!
A Bloody Mary Complete Demon Party Kit. Available now at toy stores everywhere and the Void Between Dimensions. Tell your parents you need it.
There you go.
That's one that you actually do need to see.
Yeah. The demons playing with the kids and clapping hands.
High-fiving.
Yeah. That
terrorizing everyone else.
Yeah. There you go. That,
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Mini incantation cards, spirit dust comes with it.
It's everything you need, you know, for a really a great experience.
That was very funny.
We have some other interesting pieces coming up on the program or on our next program. Connecting demons and Dateline together in one piece.
Demons and Dateline?
Demons and Dateline. And you may also remember another episode coming up here back when McDonald's had the Ouija Funland. And then they had to change that back in 1987 due to some unfortunate circumstances and incidents. We're going to have a report from an old television report that we're going to be able to watch. And...
You know, there's somebody right now thinking, I had no idea that McDonald's had a Ouija Funland back in the 80s.
I mean, talk about, you know, what should have been just a golden marketing marriage made in heaven. Ouija boards, McDonald's Funland. I mean, I don't see where.
What a great idea. How can it go wrong?
I don't see where it goes wrong. I really don't. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Do we have another call here
on the program? Yes,
let's listen to the other call.
Hello, I am calling from Brandon, Manitoba, Canada. And this is a story that my mother had told me about when she was a small child growing up in Poland, eastern Poland, in a small village close to Vladimir, Poland. And at that time, this is prior to any invasion or any war starting before 1939. She was born in 1927, so this may have occurred when she was about 7 or 8 years old. And in the village that she lived in, there were Polish people, and there were Jewish people, and there were Ukrainian people. There were families from all different walks of life and different nationalities, but there was no division. Everyone worked together, played together, that type of thing at that time. So Mom was playing outside with her friend, who was Jewish, and they were kind of sitting across from each other. And further down the roadway, they were playing close to the road, gravel road. My mother saw a young boy approaching them, and she looked, and her friend looked and said, well, we don't recognize this boy, because everyone knew each other at that time in this little village. And he approached them, coming closer and closer, and he stopped. And he stopped behind my mom and looked at my mom's friend, pointed at her, and said, your family must go back or return to Palestine. When this boy had said this, he didn't say hi. Can I play with you? Or there was no conversation. All that was said was he stated to her friend that her and her family must go back to Palestine. Now, my mom and her friend looked at each other kind of confused or a little bit bewildered, like, who is this person? I mean, we've never seen him before. And what an odd thing to say. And when they looked around, or when they, after finishing looking at each other like this, they looked up and this boy was nowhere to be found. Anywhere. They didn't see him leave. Nothing. So my mom and her friend kind of looked at each other a little bit startled, and each went back to their own families, kind of running. And my mom went up to her mom and said, Mom, why do the Jewish people, why does my friend have to go back to Palestine? And my grandmother was saying, oh, why would you say such a thing? Who told you this? And my mom replied, I don't know. This boy, we didn't see. He doesn't look familiar to us. I've never seen him in the village before. When my mom shared this story with me, I had goosebumps going up and down each arm and at the back of my neck. I literally felt the hairs on the back of my neck raise because it was almost, it was just, I guess, a warning of things to come. But yeah, my mom and her friend had gone through this. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story with us.
So thoughts that would have happened pre-World War II.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And to have a little boy come up and say something like that, and then just he's gone. You know, because kids would come up and be like, hey, I want to play too. Or there'd be a number of things they would say, not like you need to go back.
Yeah.
And then when you think about what happened, I wonder what happened to her friend. Like if she ended up being okay. That's interesting.
That is interesting. There's a lot of questions there.
Yeah. That's a great story, though.
You ever had somebody come up to you and say something really weird and you're like, where the hell did that come out of? And it like connected with something?
Not that I can think of. I've had people tell me really weird stuff thinking I was somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we talking about here? It's like, oh, I thought you were so-and-so. No, I'm not. But like, cause I do think it would be strange to, you know, I've heard of people like a psychic approaching them and telling them something. I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Like I've got a message for you from the other side. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I can't think of anything. Have you had anything like that?
I had one thing once.
What was it?
It was, I had just gotten a new, it was in Wichita, and my tax people had just suggested a financial person. It was an Edward Jones agent, a specific one, that was in, it wasn't even in town. He was like out of town a little ways, but it was recommended by somebody I knew. Also people that were not great with money, which I later learned. The guy seemed fine, you know, whatever, you know, just kind of the standard Edward Jones guy. And I didn't have like much money or anything, but, you know, the couple thousand dollars I had in savings at the time was what I was putting in there. And I got out of my car at Menards. Save big money at Menards, by the way. And I'm just literally, I'm grabbing a cart and walking up to the, and some guy comes walking towards me. No idea who the fuck he is. And it wasn't like he knew me from the radio or something either. He was just like angry. And he's like, don't ever use so-and-so of Edward Jones. I just gave this guy all my savings or what it was. And I'm like, I don't know this guy from Adam. And he's just telling me this fucking little nugget of his life. And he's like seething. Like, I think he just like probably got off the phone or something and found this out at the Menards. And I gave him my savings and it's like halfway gone and blah, 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 blah. It was right around 2008 too. So
even better.
I don't think it was necessarily him. I think it was more like, well, the market just crashed. But it was weird. I mean, of all things, of all people, I mean, I've never had somebody just randomly come to me and rant about their finances going to shit ever for any reason, even people that are close to me. Like, God. To have a stranger approach you at a store as you're just walking in and start and saying that specific person, it was fucking weird. I didn't move my money.
But it was the same Edward Jones guy?
It was. That it was like so-and-so in so-and-so. And like, what the fuck was that? I didn't know what to make of it because it was so specific. And it was, I mean, I didn't really, I don't know. I mean, and was there anything with the Edward Jones guy that was affecting me? No, I didn't really make much, but at that moment in time, markets weren't really moving either. Everybody lost, and I didn't have much to lose to begin with. So it was just, you know, but I didn't like give my money, it all went away or something. There was no story like that, but it was so fucking random. Today, I don't know what I would do. If that happened to me today and I got that sort of a warning, I'd probably act on it. I think back then I was like, I just didn't want to be inconvenienced because I just got it all set up. And now it's like, oh, come on. Like, what the fuck is this?
It's like, I have $2,000. Don't ruin this for me.
Like, yeah. So I don't know. It was...
The only thing I had was there's a guy who I knew from a radio station that I don't ever name, but he was just an asshole. He was one of those guys who knew everything about everything. So I randomly one day I run into him and I'm like, mm-hmm. There's no turning back. I'm like, oh, great. It's that guy. And he's like, Carol, how are you doing? Why are you limping? And I said, well, I need a hip replacement. And I had already set up it was my first hip replacement. And yeah. I'd already set it up and everything. And he goes, well, you better not be getting that from Dr. Bhargava. Well, I am. Like of all the doctors to do a hip replacement. Yeah. Then he went on to tell me how horrible he is. But him telling me how horrible he is made me want to go to him even more.
Because, yeah, with some people, it's like
that. I do not believe anything you tell me. And Dr. Bhargava, by the way, did a great job. He did both of them.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad I went to him. But I was like, yeah, I will absolutely 100% go to him since he just told me that.
Oh, my God. Some That's people. Funny. That's
but that funny. Guy you didn't even know.
It's weird. The universe is weird. It's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, and everything without ads, check us out on Patreon. Support the program that way, or Apple Podcasts. We got our premium channel there, too, where you can get access to everything ad-free as well. Check it out. We do appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.